The story we're going to look at today is a story of Jesus is sleeping, and the disciples, his followers around him, are in the middle of a situation that is very serious to them. In the same way, very serious, that when Pebbles jumps off our bed, it frustrates Beth so much, she knows that something bad is going to happen, she gets me up. This is exactly what happens in this story. Is the disciples are freaked out, they're scared about the situation they're in, and so they go and they wake Jesus up, because it seems as if Jesus doesn't care that he's literally sleeping on the job. But my prayer is that as we study this this story, as we read this story, it's an ancient story, but it's a true story. And though it happened 2,000 years ago, it has application for our life today. I want us to look at some things to mark down from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41 that I think are going to impact the way we think about Jesus, the things that we believe about him, and our application of those beliefs. So Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. Here's the story. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, he is Jesus, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Verse 41, and they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Would you pray with me? God, we believe that this is still you. Like this ability to do what's done in this story is still real today. God, I also understand and believe that though we might not be in a physical storm right now where the wind and the waves and the water just are pounding on us, God, all of us are in situations and circumstances that seem overwhelming, that scare us. And God, there are many of us in this room today, including myself at times, that believe sometimes that you're asleep on the job, that you aren't responding the way that we thought you were going to respond, at the timetable we thought you were going to respond, and it's causing us a crisis of faith. Lord, I pray that today you would show yourself strong. And God, in the middle of that time also, teach us about ourselves, teach us about the circumstance, teach us things that even the disciples didn't grasp and understand. Lord, we love you and thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's a few things to mark down. We're going through a series called Mark It Down, and we're just walking through the book of Mark, 16 weeks. Okay, now we're in week 4, and we're looking at chapter 4. And kind of the idea and the principle of this whole series is, what are some things we can mark down about the life of Jesus, about the circumstances, the situations, the stories we see in the scripture, and what are some things we can mark down about our own lives and things that we can adjust, change, and experience differently. And here's the first thing that I noticed in this scripture. It comes in verse 35. It says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." This is something that's very important when we're experiencing a storm. Okay, in this story, Jesus was the one who initiated the trip. It was his idea to go out on the water. It was his idea to go out in the boat in the first place. Now, if God ever leads us someplace and all of a sudden things start going south or things start getting difficult, this is what I know about my own experience. When I know that the idea or the plan originated with God, it freaks me out a little bit less when things start to get dangerous. Why? Because I believe that God is in control, that God has the ability to do anything. And so if he calls me into a situation that's difficult or hard, I believe he can get me out of it. Each of us have gone through storms before, maybe not physical storms, but some of us, most of us living in Florida have. But storms that threaten our health, our way of life, our relationships, our marriages, our kids. And in the middle of all of it, a very important question for us to ask ourselves, you might need to ask yourself this question today. How did I get here? How did I get, if you're in the middle of a storm right now, regardless of what kind of storm it is, a very important self-inspection question to ask yourself is, how did I get here? You see, for some of us, it's like this story. God led us into the middle of the storm. We were following Jesus as best as we knew how, and he led us into a difficult circumstance or situation. He's wanting to teach us something. But I know, I wasn't born yesterday, and neither were you, that that's not always how it goes. Sometimes we're the ones who walk directly into the middle of the storm. We didn't ask God his advice or his plan. We didn't care. We were too busy chasing what we wanted to do, and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a mess. Let me give you a couple messes from my own personal life. You ready? Have you ever bought a car without really praying about it or consulting anybody who's wise? Right? Your car is just a beater and you had to get an oil change and a tire fixed, and somehow the multiplication and addition in your head made sense that it would be better to buy a new car, right, than to spend $150 on a new tire and oil change. So you're like, I just got to get a new car. My thing's a piece, right? So you go to get the new car, and then, oh, man, you go in, you test drive it. And, you know, you always go, you're like, I have a budget in mind. You know, you'd really try to be hardcore with the guy working there. This is my budget. I will not pay above. And he's like, I get it, but let me take you over here. And then he gets you in the car, and you're like, oh. You smell it. I remember this. We had a, we at the time, my wife and I had a Buick Regal. It was legit, okay? And what I loved about the Buick Regal was I could have my temperature on my side and she'd have her temperature on her side. That's the whole reason we bought the car, right? And it was not cool. These are the old Regals. The new ones are nice, but the old ones, this was before Shaq got at them and said how nice they are. This was like when Buick Regals were grandpa cars, okay? And so we had it. I loved it. Well, it just started having a couple of things that made a weird noise. The body style was out of date, and so I just wanted a new car. And I was in the military at the time, which was a guaranteed check every month, all right? So I was like, all right, let's get a car. We can get it, right? And I was very young, too. So when you go to the car dealership and they tell you can afford a certain car, you're like, oh, really? Thank you. I'll take that one then. And like, then you have to make the payments, right? Well, I was going there to get a family car because Raina, my oldest, was a baby at the time, and we wanted to get a big car, maybe a minivan. And we go there, and the new Dodge Intrepids had just come out, okay? And this was the cool body style. This is back in the 90s, but cool body style. You know, I'm like, oh, man, this is awesome. And the guy says, just come sit in this. So I sit down. It's this burgundy color. I sit down. I was so impressed because the speedometer, they were white, and the rest of the car was black. Like, that impressed me. I was like, I got to get this car because the odometer and speedometer are white, right? I don't know. So we buy the car, and it's great for like a month, right? You get driving the car. You haven't got the payment book yet. You drive. You're like, oh, my gosh, this is the best decision ever. It smells great. It looks great. But a couple things happen. You know, somebody opens their door into your door, and all of a sudden you got a dent in your car. You know, your kid throws up in the back, and now it doesn't smell so good in the car anymore. And then all of a sudden you have to start paying for it. And then you're like, this was a really dumb decision, right? Now, for some of us, that might seem very simple, but a car payment can cause us a lot of stress and can put us in a financial storm if we're not prepared for it. But that's an example of a decision we make sometimes. We don't consult God. We don't really consult godly counsel, and we just make a decision because we want to do it, and we don't really understand the consequences we're going to have to face long term. Maybe another one's this. Maybe you guys got into this. Has anybody in the room, you don't have to raise your hand, but in your room, when real estate was awesome, you decided to take out a home equity loan because that was a good idea. And then all of a sudden, right? So now you have like two payments you're paying every month and your house isn't even worth what one of them is. You guys know what I'm talking about? Okay, over half people, you ready for this? Over 50% of the people in our county are upside down in their homes. So this is reality for a lot of people in the room. But you know what, man? You wanted that extra cash and the bank was like, hey, your house is worth $400,000. And you're like, but I've only paid like $150 for it. This is awesome. Give me all the money I can get, you know. And then you get all the money and you spend in like a day. You get a big screen TV and you know, something. And next thing you know, the money's gone. And now you're having to make these payments and you're not prepared. That's an example of us stepping ourselves directly into a financial tornado and never really consulting God on the front end of it. Maybe some of you have started dating someone because you thought they were awesome. They were beautiful. I mean, how many guys, you dated a girl because she was hot. And then you got to know her. And you're like, oh, gosh, that's not a good idea, you know. Ladies, you see a guy like, oh, my gosh, he is so fine. And he's got a nice car. And then you get to know him. He's a total jerk, right? We make these decisions. We get involved in these relationships. We put ourselves out there because it seems like a great idea. We don't consult God. We don't pray about it. We figure, God gave me a brain. I'm going to use my brain, you know? And so you get involved in a relationship, and next thing you know, the person's not who you thought they were. You're in the middle of a storm, and you're wondering how you got there. from a business standpoint, maybe you entered into a contract with somebody because you saw a bunch of dollar signs. And you're wondering why that person wasn't going to be business with all of your other, you know, all your competitors. Why is it that I'm getting this contract? This is unbelievable. You didn't pray about it. You didn't consult godly counsel. And then all of a sudden you get into the business relationship with them, and now you know why nobody else wanted the business with them. They're miserable to work with. And you find yourself in a situation that you're having to eat Tums and drink Alka-Seltzer on a day-to-day basis just to exist and to live. You find yourself in the middle of a storm that you got yourself in the middle of. We were just eating at one of our favorite restaurants is River House in Palmetto. I don't know if you've ever been there, but that's a free commercial, River House. But I love it because it's right there on the river, and you see the boaters, and it's beautiful, and it's gorgeous over there. And my wife and I were eating there with a group of people, and we were having a good time, and a storm rolled in. Now, it was beautiful, beautiful day, but you know how it is. It can turn nasty really quick here. And a storm rolls in. I mean, the sky is black, and the wind starts picking up, and the rain starts blowing sideways. And what I watched was guys on their boats that were out to sea, they're flying. You know, you're supposed to go real slow in the manatee zones. Who cares about manatee zones when it's a storm, right? People are going 50 miles an hour flying in because they got to get off their boat. They don't want to get wet. They're going to ruin everything. And I thought about that, and I thought that's how a lot of us live. We make decisions. We don't consult anybody. We just make decisions. We don't really pray about them. We make decisions, and our whole life is a life of dodging disaster. Can I just say this? That is not the life God has for you. There's so much more for your life than to dodge disasters. But we live that type of life when we don't consult God or consult godly counsel before we make decisions. Now, why do I say all this? Because in this story, it's very important for us to see, the disciples find themselves in a very difficult position, but there was a confidence that they could have had. The confidence was Jesus was the one who called them out to sea in the first place. I'm telling you, I've been in situations before where I knew for a fact that God had called me into the situation. I knew it. I was following. I sensed this is what I was supposed to do. And when it got difficult, it gave me a confidence to know, at least I know that Jesus is in the boat. But not everybody has that security. I don't have that security on every decision that I've made. So a good question to ask yourself is, how did you get there? You know, I think about this with church planting, and then I'll move on. Church planting is what some people would call it's difficult, okay? We did a parachute launch, which means that there was five or six of us when we started. It wasn't like we brought like 20 families, you know. Five or six, and it's scary. It's scary, like, is this even going to work? You know, this is dumb. Like, we just moved our whole family here, and what if nobody shows up? I mean, I remember sitting back at those tables on our second service, and our first service was incredible. I mean, blew us away how many people came and how cool it was. It was a good feel. But then I'm sitting back there before the second service, stressing out, like, is anybody going to come? What if nobody shows up? Like, it hadn't dawned on me. What if this doesn't work? But I remember sitting back there, and I was reminded by a good friend, but I remember sitting back there, hey, I'm doing this because I really feel, as clearly as I could understand God's voice, that this is what I was supposed to be doing. And so there have been many a days that church planting is difficult. There's not one day that I've doubted that he's called me to do it and that he's here with me. And that though the storm is around and though it seems like, oh gosh, this isn't the way, he's still there. He's present in the middle of it. What's some advice that we can take from this? We need to begin to think about each decision before we make it. That seems very basic, doesn't it? But I think what we do, and at least what I do sometimes in my like default switch, is that I don't include God in what I consider to be small decisions. But when there's big decisions, I include God. Like, should I sell the house? I include God. I mean, you know, God, that's kind of a big deal. Should we move? That's kind of a big deal. You know, something about my child's health care or something like that, that's a big deal. Or something for my marriage, that's a big deal. But a lot of decisions, you just kind of make them. You kind of do that. This is just some advice. How about we set up a process in our own life that we consult God on even what we consider to be a small decision? Why? Because we don't realize how big the decision actually is when we're making it. If you think about the decisions that you make, even small, what seem to be insignificant decisions can alter the entire direction of your life. And so set up a strategy in your own life of consulting God on decisions that you make. Decisions in relationships, decisions in your marriage, decisions with your children, with your kids' education, when it comes to moving, when it comes to your job, when it comes to conversations that you have with friends. Consider what Jesus desires for you to do in the midst of that. Many times, if we wait until something is big to consult God, we're already in the middle of the storm. You know, we wait until we feel the pressure. Well, at that point, you're already stressed. You're already exhausted. What I'm saying is, how about our relationship with Jesus be motivated more out of faith than out of stress? Not just coming to God when we can't handle it, but coming to Jesus on the front end and letting him carry it from the very beginning. Here's some action steps. You ready? Number one is this. Ask yourself, how did I get in this storm? If you're in the middle of this right now, or maybe one that you've just gotten out of, it's good. I love self-inspection questions. This is what I love about the gospel. The gospel gives us hope because Jesus loves us in the midst of our mess. But just because the gospel is beautiful doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask ourselves hard questions. And a hard question we have to ask ourselves sometimes is, how did I get here? And for some of us, you got to the storm because you were following Jesus. You did exactly what Jesus told you to do, and you're in the middle of the storm. Take this encouragement. He's with you. But maybe you ask yourself that question and you're honest with yourself. You realize you just kind of made a decision and now you're screaming out to God, where are you? Because you need him. And the beauty is that he'll still come and meet you in the middle. Ask yourself, how did I get in the storm? Number two, action step, begin seeking him in decisions and steps in everyday life, even small ones, like Taco Bell or McDonald's. No, I'm kidding. He would say neither, right? But Taco Bell, thank you. I like you. Number two, something else to mark down from the story. Storms happen to everybody. Okay, now when we read this story, we can just kind of glaze over, but let's look at who's in this boat. We have Jesus and the 12 people that Jesus specifically chose to be his followers. Now, you would think that if there's anybody in the world that's not going to have to experience a storm, it's going to be these guys. This is God in flesh. Literally, God wraps himself in flesh and becomes a human being. And he's on earth, and he's with 12 people that he hand-selected to be his A-team. And they're on a boat. Now, if anybody that a storm shouldn't hit that boat, it's going to be that, right? But no. This is important for us to grasp and to understand. Storms happen to everybody. This really messes with the theology that many people have, that God wants you to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and successful, right? There's no means. I mean, if something bad's happening in your life, if there's a lot of pressure, if it's hard, that's obviously not of God. God wants your life to be easy and happy and just wants you to be fun, have fun all the time and do whatever you want to do. And that's just, guys, that's not in the Bible. I mean, we just created that. It sounds good. But if you just pick up the Bible at all and begin to read, you will understand that God's desire for your life isn't necessarily for you to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. God's desire for your life is for your life to be holy and for you to follow him. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Now, it sounds really appealing and cool. I feel like we can get more people here if we just said, happy, healthy, wealthy, let's do this, you know? And we're like blowing like money out. And we're like, ah, you know, I mean, that would be great. But that's not what Jesus calls us to. I mean, it's just not. Actually, it's the opposite. Listen to John 16:33. This is what Jesus says to his disciples. I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. All right. If anybody has ever believed the lie that that's the life that God wants for you, everything's supposed to be blessed and highly favored and all that kind of stuff. This is Jesus is promising his disciples that their life is going to be difficult. That's not a shock to them. He wanted them to know, hey, listen, following me is going to be tough. The system of this world is different than the system of the kingdom of God. And so because of that, we experience a lot of pain when we're trying to pursue Jesus. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Two promises from that passage. You ready? Number one, you will have trouble and you will experience storms. How many of you guys are obsessed with the weather? Anybody? Okay. Lena is, she is, okay. But, okay, I have a weather app, okay, on my phone, and I hate it because I don't know what's up, but if there's even a 10% chance of storms, it shows storms as the picture. So it's like I flow through. It's like I'm so happy I moved to Florida because it rains every day. Like, let me find one sun. Oh, it's sunny for 1 minute, you know, and then it's just, it's nuts how it is. But we're obsessed with weather. I love the weather. I think it's good. I mean, we watch ABC in the morning, Good Morning America, as everybody's getting ready for work, and Sam Champion's on, and he does the weather. And I think, I like Sam Champion. He's funny. And so, like, I watch it, and I'm like, Sam, tell me what I need to know about the weather. You know, it's like, this is, you know, send it to what's happening in your neck of the woods, or whatever. And then you go to that, and then your local guy's like, it's going to be 90 degrees and a 50% chance. You know, it's like, you know what to expect. I like the weather. Now, this is going to be a challenge. It could be later on in the action step, but something just while it's still in my mind. Every time you look at the weather, every time you open up your weather app, every time, because all of us do it, most of us do it at least once a day, remind yourself of this. There is a 100% chance of storms in your life. 100%. And you're like, this is really depressing. I'm glad I came to church today. I'm depressed now. Storms happen to everybody. Number two, no storm is something that he hasn't faced or he hasn't defeated. Let's talk about some different storms. You ready? Relationship storms. You ever be like, God doesn't understand how hard it is for a brother? You probably don't say it that way, okay? I don't even say it that way. But you might be like, God, you don't understand how difficult this relationship is. You don't understand how much this person hurt me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not mocking it. I'm being honest. You're like, you don't understand, God. Can we just talk a little bit about Jesus? This is what the Bible says about him. He was despised, he was betrayed, and he was rejected by many people, by most people. One of his disciples was present at the cross when he was dying in agony. One. And he was standing afar. So we lie to ourselves, we're like, God, you don't understand how hard this is. He knows. You feel like you've been betrayed? You feel like you've been rejected? Financially, you're like, oh, God, you don't understand. I mean, God, you're rich. I mean, you got everything, and you don't understand what I'm going through. I mean, the pain and the stress I'm going through financially. You know what the scripture says about Jesus? That he had nowhere to lay his head. Jesus didn't even own a house. He just traveled around, and he slept in gardens, and he would stay at people's house if they let him, and he didn't have any personal belongings but what he wore. So we're like, God, you don't understand my financial stress. Jesus didn't have any money. Emotional. You say, you don't understand. You don't understand emotionally, God. You don't understand what I face on a day-to-day basis. You don't understand the storm. The Bible calls Jesus a man of many sorrows. Many times Jesus went away to be alone just to pray with his Father because nobody got him. No tear that you have shed wasn't already shed by Jesus. Some of you guys are in a tough place physically. Maybe it's a medical situation, or maybe it's just a health concern, or whatever it is. And you say, God doesn't understand. He has no clue. Well, he does. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, he goes off in the wilderness, and for 40 days he doesn't eat, and he doesn't drink anything, and he's tempted by the devil himself. We continue to watch in Jesus' life and ministry. He just walked everywhere. He didn't have the luxurious life that we had. And then when he ultimately, at the end of his life, he's beaten almost to death, and then nailed to a cross. And so when we say that God doesn't understand the physical pain that we're in, the physical storm that we're in, that's a lie. He does. He grasps that. Storms happen to everybody. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he threw himself in the middle of storms. He existed in the middle of them. He went to people who were hurting, people that had needs. He did not spend time in the palace. He did not hang out where all the good, cool people hung out. He didn't experience what it was like to be wealthy. He didn't experience what it was like to be highly favored. He simply went in the middle of storms and lived his entire life there. Storms happen to everybody. You ever heard somebody say, oh, no, that's not you. You know, God, he'll never give you more than you can't handle. You guys ever heard that? Can I just say that? That is not in the Bible. There's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so you can stand up under it. That scripture is talking specifically about being tempted. It's saying that God will never allow you to be put in a situation where your only option is to sin. That's what that scripture means. That scripture does not mean that you won't ever be put in a situation that's too hard for you. Can I say this? God loves putting you in situations that are too hard for you, because for us, as hard-headed as we are, it's the only time that we go to our knees and we say, God, I need you. Isn't that true? I mean, I wish that wasn't true. I wish it would be like in the middle of a great day. I'd be like, God, this is awesome. You're awesome. I'm going to spend some time with you right now. I'm going to block everything else out. I'm just going to tell you how awesome, how much I need you. No, I wait till it's like, oh my gosh, where are you? That's how we are. Storms happen to everybody. Listen to Hebrews 12:3. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Why is that scripture important? Storms happen to everybody. Consider Jesus that endured so much junk when you're in the middle of being discouraged. Action step. Every time you watch the weather, remind yourself of this. There's 100% chance of storms in my life. That's just, I'm just telling you that for me that helps, because I do watch the weather every day. That's an action step for you. Number two is this. It's going to be hard. You ready? I want you to meditate and memorize on two passages of scripture. You're like, oh, this is too much. You can do it, I promise. You ever turn on the radio in your car and to like the 80s station, you know every word to every song? You can memorize, I promise you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is the scripture I just quoted. That's about temptation. And Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that's about persecution. Very important scriptures to be reminded of, that storms happen to everybody. Number three, if Jesus isn't urgent, then you shouldn't be either. I'm gonna rush through this, and then we're going to close. All right. If Jesus isn't urgent, then you shouldn't be there. Okay, we have this story. The disciples are freaking out. They're going nuts. They're going crazy. Jesus is sleeping. All right. Something that we can learn from this story. If Jesus isn't freaking out, then you don't need to freak out. I love going to football games. In college football, do we have the image or no? Okay, we got the image. All right, pop the image up. All right, this is an NFL game, all right? If you guys have ever been in an NFL game, this is something that happens. See the guy on the field? He's got these orange, like, mittens on, right? What his job is he is the television coordinator. As long as he is standing on the field with his hand raised, the TV... That means the TV is on a commercial and the game will not be played, okay? You know the guys who are legit fans. In college football, they wear a red, they're like referees, but they wear a red shirt and they walk out and they stand on the field. When he turns around and walks out the field, that means the game's about to start again, the commercial's over, right? Why is this so important? This helps me in my relationship with Jesus. You ready for this? As long as that dude's on the field, you don't have to get worked up. As long as he's on the field, it's a timeout. Even if the players get lined up and they get down in their stance, you can always tell the teams that don't play on TV very often. Because whenever they play, they get down in their stance, and they're in their stance for like 40 minutes. And it's like, dude, commercial. Like, they don't even know. They're still in high school. They're still acting like they're in high school. Right? As long as that dude's like that, nothing's happening. You ready for this? The scripture teaches us that Jesus is seated at the right hand of his Father. Until Jesus gets up, you don't have anything to worry about. Can I say that again? Until Jesus gets up and he comes in the clouds, world is not ending yet. So as long as Jesus is sitting down, you can chill out. Now, I'm not saying you don't do anything. I'm not saying kick your feet up, eat chips, and do nothing and be like, oh, Jesus is coming back. I got to hurry up and get my life right. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that as difficult as your situation is, it's not the end of the world. As long as Jesus is still seated by his Father, you're okay. If Jesus isn't urgent, then you shouldn't be either. Last thing. This is really deep. You ready? I mean, it's deep. Nothing is too big. That's probably the least deep thing, but probably the thing that has the most hope. Did y'all hear in the story? They're in a storm. Weather. I mean, weather is something that we study. Weather is something that we have apps for. Check it out. Weather is something that we adjust our life and schedule around. Why? Because we can't change it. If it's going to, it's 100% chance of rain, not a good day to have a picnic. If it's 100% chance of rain, not a good day to have an outside wedding, right? So we watch the weather and we adjust. If it's 80% chance of thunderstorms at the beach, not a good time to go tanning, right? We get that. To us, the weather is a guarantee, and we position and move our lives around it. You ready for this? Jesus commands the weather. Literally told the storm to stop, and it did. So I don't know if you're in a storm today because you wandered into a storm, or if you're in a storm today because you followed Jesus into a storm, but this is what I know. He's big enough to stop it. And even if he doesn't stop it, he's big enough to protect you and hold you in the middle of the storm. That's hope that we all need this morning. He's that big. The same Jesus that calmed the winds and the waves, and the disciples are like, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey this guy. That's the Jesus that we follow. Now, would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I don't know what your storm is. I don't know. You might not be in one right now, and that's awesome. But maybe you've been through one, and you're still kind of in a daze over it, or maybe you're right in the middle of it. Here's my encouragement to you. I don't know why you're where you are, but this is what I know. He is big enough to be there in the middle of it with you. He's big enough to stop it. He's big enough to hold you in the middle of it. There's a song that came out years ago. It's kind of cheesy, but I really like the lyrics. It says, sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. And you might be in the middle of a storm right now, and for some reason, God's not stopping it. But even this morning, he can calm your spirit in the middle of it. And so with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, we're going to transition now to a time of response. And during this time of response, I want it to be a time between you and God. You might say, hey, I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. I just encourage you, you can start one today. You say, I really don't know how. Hey, on your connection card in the back, check the little box that says, hey, I want to start a relationship with Jesus. I promise you that I'll contact you and get in touch with you and help you walk through those next steps. Maybe the storm is so big and you don't know what to do. Just on the back of your card, you can write a prayer request. Hey, this is something I need. I need help with this, or I feel like this is too overwhelming, or it's too big. Just fill that in. And people will pray for you this week. Or maybe you're here, and just over the next few moments, as Jacob plays, sings, your response is going to be to sing along and just thank God that he has been present in the midst of your storms. And trust him that the next storm that comes along, because it's going to happen, that he'll be as strong and as faithful as he was in the past. God, we thank you for these moments, God, where we've got 168 hours in a week, and most of it's filled with other stuff. But Lord, you can take moments like this, take an hour like this, and redeem it. And God, let this hour, let what we've experienced as we've worshiped you, what we've learned from your word, what we've said back to you in worship, let that be what dictates our other 167 hours. God, we come in here with a whole bunch of stuff. But God, we believe that you can speak to the wind and the waves and they obey you. So God, we pray that you'd speak to our situations, to our lives, even to our hearts. And God, let us obey you now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.